It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Typical Atlanta July weather, isn't it? Good morning, Ryan Ealy. Good morning, all of you tuning in for the beginning of the summer market season, full steam ahead, second half 2017, and the markets just keep chugging forward for the week. Another grind higher, just this grind higher, and no enthusiasm whatsoever about it. So there's this lack of enthusiasm. We've seen it all year, and most of the market, we've seen this for most of the last 8 years. We've had a solid market, bull market for the last 8 years, and it's just unloved. Nobody likes it. So the grind higher just this past week added another 1% to the Dow. It's a big number. An almost $20 trillion mechanism. Another 1% for the Dow this week, up 1.4% for the S&P 500, 2.6% for the NASDAQ. So fascinating to me this week. First of all, this outburst from one James Dimon. He runs JP Morgan Chase. He's the CEO, Jamie Dimon, CEO, JP Morgan Chase, on an analyst call. And he just blasted, and he wasn't mad at the question. He's just frustrated with Washington. So he had an outburst, which is fairly uncharacteristic for a CEO on an earnings call about Washington and gridlock. And it's a theme that you've seen a bunch in the last year, and we certainly saw it this week. There's also, fascinating this week, a partisan conflict index. It's a statistical measure of the disjointedness or the gridlock that we see in Washington. And the fact that we still haven't been able to get anything done here in this administration, it's frustrating to those all around. And it's measured. And it's actually a measure, an index kept by the Philadelphia Federal Reserve. Number three, fascinating this week, Janet Yellen. Janet, let's call her Goldilocks Yellen, strikes again. And again, a big reason for the market push higher. And then just this continued argument that we're going to have of passive investing versus active investing, new light shed on that. I've written about this in the last couple of weeks. A Wall Street luminary named Burton Malkiel, who is someone that actually for years, he was the author of A Random Walk Down Wall Street. And for years, this is a guy that promoted passive investing, and now all of a sudden he's changing his tune. So he's stopped singing the praises of just putting money, sitting it in a passive index fund for most of your life. Interesting that someone at his stage in his 80s would change heart. Part of this has to do with a concept, I think, it's a concept I'm calling peak passive, meaning that it's just, there has been so much flow into passive strategies and ETFs in the last couple of years. It's accelerated to the point where it almost looks like a bubble. And the bubble isn't necessarily in a particular sector, and the bubble isn't in a particular stock I'm talking about here today. I'm talking about this philosophy that you can just dump all your money into an index and just let it ride. And that's just not a realistic strategy for most investors. It can work if you're Rip Van Winkle and you literally invest one day, wake up 50 years later. As long as the world is a better place, you're probably going to have done just fine. But that's not how it works in the real world. We are alive, we're living, we're breathing, we are taking in more information today than we've ever taken in the history of the planet. So it's very difficult to just ignore the world and cut through all the noise, which is exactly what being a passive investor fully entails. So it's not a realistic strategy for most human beings that are emotional, psychological creatures. And the news flow on it in the last year or two, and we've talked a lot about this over the past year, I think it's gotten to the point of an apex where the pendulum may very well be starting to swing in another direction or the other way. Part of that has to do, and I don't know if this is, this is a trend that's been happening this year. Over half of all large cap mutual fund managers have outperformed their indexes this year over the first half of 2017. So a good 54% of managers have done better than their benchmark, despite all of this money going into passive index funds. And there's a lot on this topic, and just the sheer mechanics of index investing have just become almost, to me, where they don't make sense or they're unsustainable. And here's an example of that. Let's go back to the early 90s when there were literally just a handful. There were about a dozen indexes that ETFs would track. From 2010 to 2012, the number of indexes quadrupled. So it got up to about 100, 250 as it continued on in the 90s and the 2000s. And then from 2010 to 2012, the number of indexes, not just stocks, the number of indexes got to 1,000. So 1,000 different indexes to track. Meanwhile, the number of stocks continuing to decline. So the number of stocks was about 7,500 if you go back into the late 1980s or mid 1990s. And then that's fallen over 40%. So now we're closer to 4,000 stocks. But here's how many indexes we have. We now have almost 6,000 indexes. So how can that reconcile? And if you just, let's just chart those two things out. You see indexes skyrocket, the number of stocks plummet. Now there are more indexes out there than there are individual companies to even buy. And that has to do with the proliferation of ETFs. There's nothing wrong with ETFs, but the fact that now there are more baskets of stocks than there are individual stocks to begin with is a sign that we have hit an apex in this whole philosophy of purely passive investing, which we've talked a lot about. And we'll continue that conversation here on Money Matters. So good morning. There's a lot to talk about here. Let me do the weather just briefly. Cloudy today, 30-40% chance of scattered showers. High 86, lows tonight 70. Just steamy. Just you look outside, it's a little bit steamy. And that's just Atlanta in the summer. Again, more of the same tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. High chance, even higher chances of thunderstorms, 60%. High of 87, 88, low of 69. And that's remarkable to me after coming back. Last weekend, I was in Michigan. I was in Holland, Michigan, in a little place right near called Lake Makatawa, right on Lake Michigan, where you actually had a breeze. And I think that's what is so remarkably different about Atlanta weather versus being up north is the breeze. The breeze matters. Here, I find myself looking and looking at the little wind indicator, and I don't see any wind. There's no movement of air. That's probably why Michigan weather, at least, is comfortable in the summer. And I'll reiterate that in the summer, when you can drop 10 or 15 degrees from where we are here, it really makes it pleasant. But I'm home. I'm so happy to be home. No matter how good the weather is up there, it is so nice to drive into the city of Atlanta. Despite driving with four kids, by the way. It took us, if you look at what it's supposed to take, you can do the drive from Atlanta to Holland in less than 11 hours. It took us about 15 hours to get back. And that's just lots of little stops. We still have one that we're changing diapers. We had a stop where we stopped, long stop, we get back in the car, had to get off on the very next exit. You know how that is if you're a parent. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Full steam ahead, second quarter. Oh, by the way, phone line's open. We're live here on this Sunday morning. As usual, 404-872-0750. That's the number here in the studio. So all those listening from Texas, California, Washington, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, good morning. The number here in the studio, if you're listening online or through the WSB radio app, 1-800, the number here, 1-800-WSB-TALK. And that's exactly what we love to do here on a Sunday morning is have a conversation with you and try to help you through the noise and the clutter and the junk that you hear constantly. And a lot of it is just from financial radio. I listen to several different financial radio stations, podcasts. this past weekend, and there's just a lot of crap out there, just junk. And we really try to maintain an objective place where we can give you information that's balanced and that it's not with a major agenda. And that's why we're here on Sunday mornings, when we've been doing this for a very long time. And the best part about Money Matters are your calls and your live questions. So we love to try to help guide you. If you have a particular situation that you're confused about or just want another opinion, then we love talking it through. And whether it's a college savings issue, a tax issue that's been plaguing you, or getting to retirement, an early retirement scenario where you're saying, wow, I didn't expect my company to want me to retire this early. It's a little before I had thought it was going to be. Then we're happy to talk that through, whether it's a pension or a lump sum question or a 457 or a 403B or a 401K. We're happy to help you through that, at least give you an objective second or third opinion. Maybe it's just a financial tiebreaker with you and your spouse. But we love to do it. We're here on Sunday morning, and we're happy to take your call. Phone line's open. The number here, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely here to take your call and patch it through. So we go back to all of this angst that is happening, particularly with politics here in America. The outburst this week by Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan. He's on an analyst call, and the analyst asked him about policy or tax reform, and he went just, they were discussing something that he thought was trivial. They had asked something about trading, and he said, who cares about trading in July? It's more unpredictable than the weather. What we should be talking about is politics, healthcare. We don't have a budget. We can't get tax reform done. We can't get repatriation of foreign assets here in America. And it's not just about big corporations. It's about getting these policies through that ultimately help every American. It's not just about helping companies in America. So there's a lot to talk about with that. We'll go to the phones. We'll do quick news, weather, traffic. Then we'll come back for more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. 404-872-0750. Wes Moss, your host. Let's go to the phones here. Ryan has lots of great questions for us. Let's start with Mary in Watkinsville. I love Watkinsville, Mary. What's going on? How can we help?
Good morning, Wes. I have to make a financial decision that I'm somewhat nervous about, and I don't really know the best avenue. I have a small emergency fund of about $6,500 and a few hundred dollars in an annual expense account. My daughter is at the university full-time, and she lives off campus, and although we're very close, she does not want to live at home, and she cannot afford. She's living way beyond her means, and has, although she went in and could have gotten out of school debt-free, she's lost her Hope and Zell Miller, and now we're in her last year. We're going into her last year. She owes the university $4,000. On her FAFSA, her student aid granted is just the subsidized and unsubsidized portion.
Let me ask you, so Mary, what is your daughter right now? And I feel like there's so many people listening that have the same issue. You know, Mary, the if you look at inflation, and there were inflation numbers this week that show that we're still barely having any inflation in America, and you look at where that's coming from, it's things like cell phones. I want to say 2 quarters ago, we're down 13% as far as price is concerned. And inflation in America's been below 2% for as long as we can remember, right? What hasn't been low inflation has been school. So back when you and I were working for a summer, kids today aren't even making, or are making about what I made 20 some years ago, 25 years ago in a summer, yet inflation has tripled and quadrupled year after year after year what normal inflation has been, and school is almost unaffordable for so many families, and you're in that exact situation. But I want to continue to talk this through. So we had a quick short segment. Hang on, Mary. A lot of folks have a similar issue, And I'll be right back with you. Quick news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters with Mary from Watkinsville. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. We're just going to go right back to the phones where we've got a plethora financial questions that you'll probably be able to relate to in some way, shape, or form, or at some period in your life. And that's the magic of live radio. We have no idea what's coming at us, and we're here to talk on a Sunday morning, and that's what makes Money Matters unique and special. And thank you for being with us here on a Sunday morning with WSB Radio. We're going to go, so phones 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to go back to Mary in Watkinsville. And Mary, you have a scenario where your daughter is a little bit tapped. Well, she's tapped out. She's at her final year of school, and now it seems like money's kind of running dry. So you could go back to Clark Howard does a great job in trying to help prepare folks and kids for school and says do a two-year community college for in the beginning. Then you transfer, and I think that all makes sense. But that doesn't really apply to you right now because you're there. She's there. Your daughter is only a year left, and she doesn't want to move home.
Right.
But let me ask you a couple other quick questions. Has she already done Stafford loans, did she already do Stafford loans?
And Stafford is the subsidized, correct?
Well, it can be both. It can be depending on the income.
Yes, she's done those.
All right. And are those completely tapped out? Is there any more room on those?
Well, she's in her fourth year, and so she's going to be granted another $7,500 for her last year, and it comes in increments of $3,750. So we're not eligible for a Pell Grant because I'm earning enough money. And so now I have to make a choice, and I have about $24,000 in an IRA. I just rolled it over from a 403B. I'm 60 years old, and so I hope to work two more years. I personally am working to become debt-free before I retire. So I've managed to get to one paycheck out of two that I have my monthly bills, and then my second paycheck I use for debt payoff. I'm working to pay off my house, which if I can put my whole second check towards that, I can be debt-free when I retire.
And Mary, so the conversation comes back to there's two extraordinarily important goals here. There's your retirement, and then there's your daughter's retirement.
College,
then there's, there's your daughter's college education. But again, this is only a one-year issue for her. This is a 30-year issue for you. So you've got to give the weight, obviously, to your retirement. And the last thing you want to do, even though you're out of age where you can take some of that IRA money and not pay a penalty to use it, I'm just telling you, you really don't want to do that. And I think so many parents get this guilty feeling of, well, it's education, I should do it. And the reality here is that this is time. What is your daughter's name?
Well, I don't want to say your name.
That's okay. That's fine. No, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Thank you, though.
No, that's totally fair. I will tell you this, is that, and I'm sure you've probably had these conversations, particularly if she's not, she's living beyond her means now. What is she doing for work this summer?
Everything she can. I mean, she's not lazy. She doesn't sit back, but right now she's working as a camp counselor. And is getting free room and board at the university and earning a stipend. So she's got that money, but like you said, tuition is so high and she's not making enough to make up the difference. And so I feel compelled as a mom to step in and do something. And I feel that she's made a lot of foolish decisions all through the way, but this is when I was her age once, and I had some growing up to do with money, and we all do. And she understands that I'm working towards being debt-free, but still she wants, and she's also seen us put off luxury after luxury after luxury, you know, for years.
And you, and the, and let me ask you, let me go back to what is arguably a much more important goal, and that is your retirement. Are you going to be done in 2 years working? And is that because you get to 62 and you can start taking Social Security? Or do you get a pension starting at 62?
I do get a pension, but I also hope to step down to something that's not quite as stressful. And
Okay, so you're thinking about changing jobs in a couple years. Okay.
But I also know in this area, there's not a lot of work for older people. We've got a great pool of candidates that are, you know, college age.
Highly educated,
Educated. Yeah. And top-notch kids. So I will be competing with them for something. And so my concern is, when it comes down to it, if I'm not able to take on another either part-time or lighter workload full-time, that I will be still saddled with my mortgage payment. And there's also something inside of me, and it might just be pride, that, you know, this is a goal that I set years ago, and I want to accomplish it. And I'm willing to throw everything at it, but now I have, you know, just like you said, extreme guilt feelings about taking care of my daughter's college education or taking care of
Mary, you've got this really, I can just tell that you have this real discipline that you've had with your own finances. And that's something that you, it's hard to shake that. It's wonderful that you have it. It's hard to go against it, and you don't want to. So I know you get these feelings of guilt, and I think that I have kids, so I empathize with that, number one. Number two, I deal with a lot of families that go through the same, it's like a gut-wrenching push and pull on, should I pay, should I not pay? At what point do I give them the responsibility? I want them to be educated. And now let's say they're done this school, and now they want to go to graduate school. Now do I pay for the graduate school? I want them to be educated, but they live in a pretty comfortable life, and that's different than what I did when I was a kid and I went through school. And I don't think it's as realistic today, and I want to be fair about that. I met with a doctor not a couple weeks ago, and I remember him saying, oh, look, I paid my way through college and through med school. You know, that's almost impossible to do today, right? Because it's just so expensive, and we talked about inflation. But I think what's happening here is that you've been disciplined. And even though your daughter seems like a really good kid, and she's working and she's trying to do what she can do, it doesn't mean that she's made all the right moves, and she shouldn't be expected to, because this is the time where you learn by understanding just how difficult it is financially to make everything work that you want. And this is the time in the education that she's going to get over the next year if you make her really have this full responsibility. Now, I go back to here's in the real world, and this sounds like it may apply to you, how most people pay for college or education. A third comes from what you save over years leading up to college. This is just real world. A third comes from you helping to pay for school out of your own cash flow, not your savings, Mary. But when you're working, you say, well, I can contribute some of my current income to your school. And then a third, though, has to go back to them. It's got to go whether they're paying for it through summer work, through work in school, or getting loans. And it sounds like to me is that your daughter can at least get loans to get her through this next year, because there's only 1 year left and there's plenty of resources to go out there and do it. And I would tell you, even if you have to help her qualify, it doesn't mean that you need to pay. And that might be the happy medium that you can strike here, Mary, is that you make sure she gets funded, but hey, guess what? It's on her. This is particularly this last year of school, this is grow up time for your daughter. She's a good kid. She'll probably handle it really well, understanding that this is where the rubber meets the road. Life is just expensive, and school is worth it, particularly where she's going to college. And this is the time for you to no longer feel guilty. I think you've done everything you need to do as a mom. You've given her a good example of being fiscally responsible yourself. She will not fault you for putting the rest of the school responsibility back on her. And Mary, listen, I got to run to another call, but thank you for your call, and I'm happy to have been able to talk this through with you.
Thank you, Wes.
Thanks, Mary. 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. We're going to continue at the phones here. Patty joins us from Gainesville. Patty, what's going on? Welcome to Money Matters. How can I help?
I'm 63 years old and going to be retiring soon and wanted a stream of income, and they've recommended an annuity to me. What are the pitfalls of the annuity?
Well, there's a lot to this, Patty. So you said your advisor recommended an annuity for what? For your IRA, for your non-IRA, for most of your money, for 10% of your money? How big of a component is this annuity, and what kind of annuity is it?
He's going to present the annuity to me this week, but it's about $750,000, and it's to generate about $4,000 a month, and that's about half of my savings.
And so, $48,000 a year in addition to Social Security for you, does that fill the income need?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have an idea of even the name of the company that the annuity is going to be recommended from, or you still haven't even looked at that yet?
No, I haven't even looked at that yet.
You know, for half of your retirement money, it does sound like an awful lot. And there are a lot of different reasons I say that. Again, I'm not against all annuities all the time, Patty, and they really can make some sense. It's a really broad universe. There are fixed annuities. There's immediate annuities. There are fixed index annuities. There are variable annuities. I have a feeling, is this for IRA money or non-IRA?
No, this is IRA.
And
part of it will be non-IRA money.
There was a time that the reason people did annuities, or one of the main reasons, was tax deferral for your earnings. And that's why you would almost never see an annuity inside an IRA. Now, in the last, let's call it, decade or two, you've seen more and more advisors sell their clients' annuities inside of an IRA, despite kind of this double repetitive tax treatment. And it takes, in my opinion, it takes away some of the efficacy of why you would have used an annuity to begin with. Most of the time now, Patty, annuities are sold under this pretense that they guarantee you everything under the sun. Oh, it's a guaranteed amount of money for the rest of your life. What happens, and I've read these statistics pretty recently on variable annuities, it's something like over 90% of cases, Patty.
Yeah.
What happens is that you are promised these two, there's a bucket of real money and there's a fictitious bucket of money. And that fictitious bucket of money has all these wonderful bells and whistles. It grows at a guaranteed, quote, 5 or 6% every single year. And what happens, because the expenses in the real bucket of money are so high in an annuity, 2, 3% a year, that the fictitious bucket of money always beats it. Or over 90% of the time, you look out 5, 6 years, the fictitious bucket of money is winning the race. And that's then they've got you stuck. And then in order to continue to have this guarantee, it all goes back to the company and not your money. And that's often why these annuities, in my opinion, really start to fall short, because fundamentally they're flawed because of their expenses. And again, anything you invest in that has a 2.5% to 3.5% per annum fee, Patty.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
That kills your planning. And on the surface, you see all these great bells and whistles on annuities, but they effectively eat up. They eat your principal up with high fees, and then you're trapped. So I just want you to go into the meeting being really cautious. Try to ask those questions of, you know, what's the probability of this bucket working versus this bucket? And this is the kind of conversation that I can tell you, to me, it really starts to, it shows that the more complicated and complex these issues are, these products are, probably the worse they are for you. We've got to go quick with news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right here at WSB straight ahead. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Man, we just continue to go to the phones here. Do we have time for another call? You know what? We'll do this. Let's go into the 10 o'clock hour. We'll go right back to the phones in the 10 o'clock hour. We just don't have enough time in this particular segment. Let's just talk here for a moment about what I think is just eating up the country, and that has to do with this partisan conflict. Jamie Dimon, CEO of JP Morgan, this week just went on a tirade on an analyst call about the gridlock that he sees in Washington. And he's a CEO that's, it sounds a little bit like a guy starting to position himself to run for office one day, but I just really doubt it. I really doubt this is a guy that would do that. I think he's just a CEO that's frustrated at the pace of business in America. And said that, look, this place has become a place of great bureaucracy and regulation and gridlock. And it's kind of frustration we've seen with voters and expressed here in the United States, in the EU, and around the world. We've seen it all over the place with Brexit. We've seen it here in America with the election of Trump. We've seen it in the Philippines, for God's sake. We've seen it in France. And there has become this movement that's anti-establishment because people are frustrated with government. It has to do with economic growth and the lack thereof. 1965 to 2008, that's for over 50 years, the U.S. grew at 3.1% per year on average. Since then, so since the recession, which hit the entire world, we've only been growing at about 1.9 to 2%. That's a major issue. It's cost us $2.6 trillion. I'm going to go more into those numbers and what it's meant for all of us and why it hits politics in the 10 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. More Money Matters with me, Wes Moss, straight ahead.